You are listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Still to come, Dave and Tom continue their weekly in-depth study of the doctrine of salvation. Please stay with us. Now, contending for the faith. In this regular feature, Dave and Tom respond to questions from listeners and readers of the Berean Call. Here's this week's question. Dear Dave and Tom, I was told by a friend that during the millennial reign of Jesus, a temple will be built in Jerusalem, and that sacrifices will take place. That doesn't make sense to me, since Hebrews tells us that there is no longer a need for sacrifices. Also, can you give me some idea about how the church will rule and reign with Christ?
Well, Dave, there are a number of verses in the Old Testament talk about the millennial temple. If you go to Ezekiel, for example, chapters 40 through 46 deal with that. There are a number of verses. I'll read some a little later. But also in Hebrews 10, verse 8, above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law. A couple other ones, Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, talking about Jesus, sat down on the right hand of God. In Hebrews 10:18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. So the question is, if it's been taken care of, why sacrifices and offerings throughout the millennium?
Well, let's establish thoroughly what you just read from the Bible. There is no more sacrifice for sin. That's it, period. Mm-hmm. Christ paid the price. And if we went back to chapter 9, it says, once in the end of the age, he has appeared to take away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As is appointed unto man, going on to the end of chapter 9, once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. That teaching, of course, is denied, rejected by the Roman Catholic Church, which in fact claims that it is perpetually offering Christ on its altars, that the Mass is called the sacrifice of the Mass. No, Christ was offered once, and chapter 10 begins a little earlier than the verses you read. It begins with comparing the Old Testament sacrifices that had to be repeated daily.
And continually.
Right, and pointing out that the very fact that they had to be repeated proved they couldn't take away sin. And then it says, but this man, Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Okay? So there's no more sacrifice for sin. Then what could the sacrifices be in the temple that will be
rebuilt? Well, before we get to that, the sacrifices prior to Christ's death on the cross, they were types of. They pointed to what was to come.
They looked forward to
them. They were not efficacious in themselves.
No,
it was only
not
by faith.
Right. They looked forward to Christ, the Lamb of God, who would indeed bear away the sin of the world. Now that this temple will be rebuilt, there's no doubt about it. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. Of the Antichrist, it says, as God, he will sit in the temple of God, declaring that he's God. And Daniel 9:27 tells us that he will enforce a covenant for 1 week of years, that is for 7 years, upon the world.
And, Dave, let me interject.
All right.
You're talking about the temple that the Antichrist is going to be in. Do you think that's going to be the same temple as the millennial temple? Or will the millennial temple be different?
I think the millennial temple will be different, but I'm just saying that the temple will be rebuilt on Temple Mount.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what alterations will be done to that, I don't know. You've got the dimensions and everything in Ezekiel.
Right.
It's a little bit hard to fathom. But what would be the purpose? Paul went into the temple. He even brought sacrifices. For example, we have Messianic fellowships today, and they keep the Seder, they keep the Passover and so forth, and they're trying to encourage Gentiles to do that sort of thing. No, it is not at all meaningful for me to keep the Passover. I'm a Gentile. But for a Jew, it would be, because this is part of their history, okay? So I can see the sacrifices in the millennial temple having this very same purpose. We take the bread and the cup in remembrance of Christ's death. They could offer these sacrifices as a memorial in remembrance of the tabernacle, of the Levitical law, of the sacrifices that were commanded under the law, but they would not be efficacious.
But Dave, it seems to me from the scriptures that the Gentiles will be taking part in this millennial temple.
Well, it could be. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But let's have the scripture to prove that.
Okay. Isaiah 56, verses 6 and 7. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, that everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not sure whether that's speaking spiritually or not, and I don't want to play that game, yeah, which some people do.
But let me run some by you. We've only got about a minute and a half here. Could it be that during the millennium, there will be people who, I mean, people are going to sin,
yeah,
right? And this is a type, as it were. Christ is going to be in Jerusalem. These things may have to do with sin in maybe the same vein that it did in the Old Testament. What do you think?
No.
Okay.
It can only be a memorial of the Old Testament sacrifices, a remembrance of something. But
wouldn't it bring conviction?
It could have.
That's what I'm asking.
Bring conviction?
Yeah.
I don't think that sort of thing would bring conviction. We need the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
But, Tom, it could have nothing to do with covering sin.
No.
Forgiving sin, nothing.
No.
That's all through sacrifice,
right,
of Christ.
Absolutely.
It's one of those many things that we don't understand very well, Tom. Now we see through glass darkly. But we do know that Christ paid the penalty for our sins.
Right.
We do know there is no more sacrifice. He paid it once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
There is no sacrifice of the mass. It cannot be a sacrifice, and yet we are anathematized if we do not accept it as a propitiatory sacrifice to be offered for the sins of the living and the dead, as you well know. Now, the Jewish people, imagine they're going to reinstall this, and they will. But it will not be efficacious because Christ has come and he has fulfilled the Old Testament.